Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Over the past few decades, cheerleading has evolved from leading the crowd in cheers at football games to a competitive year-round sport. It's complex and it's dangerous, and my guest is Dr. Jeffrey Mianis. He's assistant professor in the departments of pediatrics and orthopedic surgery at Rush University. So, Dr. Mianis, cheerleading is turning into a more and more dangerous sport, isn't it, as it's getting more and more competitive and more acrobatic?
Yes, I would definitely agree. We're seeing cheerleaders who are participating at younger and younger ages, so even 6 years of age and above. And the focus now is really on a lot more gymnastic style or acrobatic style events, more flash, more show. And so a lot of these are stunts that unfortunately can put young athletes at risk.
Well, and then we've even seen some stories in the media lately of some young girls that have literally become paralyzed. So what is the new policy statement? What are we saying about cheerleading right now?
Well, I think one of the big points that we want to make with the policy statement is that in a lot of venues, so in a lot of schools and a lot of colleges and even a lot of high schools and states, cheerleading is not considered a sport. When it's not considered a sport, these cheerleaders then are at risk because they may not have good access to medical care. They may not have good access to solid facilities. And so what we want to do is one of our key points is to actually try to get cheerleading accepted as a sport across the board. So then we have improved access to care and good facilities, good coaches, and we can monitor the data and the injuries a little bit better. So that's one of the key points.
Well, just similar to gymnastics, I mean, it certainly would have to assume, one would assume that there's the safety precautions set up, but it doesn't seem like there are there?
Well, it's a little all over the board, and that's why we're saying that if cheerleading was considered a sport, it would be more in the lines of football or basketball, where, you know, they have, it's a little easier to secure good facilities, good coaches, and good injury surveillance. You know, the other thing is that part of our point is to make sure that we have some standardization across the board here. So, you know, we want coaches to have good, adequate training, and we want people who are spotting these cheerleaders in these complex stunts to know how to spot, not just somebody who's just standing there. We want to make sure that there's some uniformity in terms of the practice surface that they're practicing on. You know, nobody should be doing stunts on asphalt or on the track on the side of a football field. And we really want to kind of limit the size of stunts and the amount of people that are involved in a stunt, for example, like a pyramid building, because the higher the pyramid, the higher the height, the longer the fall and the more likely of an injury.
Now, are the people who catch them when they go up, because I've seen it and I'm always sort of amazed that there's these little tiny girls catching other little tiny people or a few guys in there catching. Is there separation when they're training that somebody, this is how you're going to learn how to catch, or is this the kind of thing you're talking about?
Well, it's a little bit the kind of thing I'm talking about, and I think that's where it comes down to the importance.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you need a good coach, and you need a good coach that knows that, you know, the lighter athlete is the one that needs to be the flyer. We need to have strong bases. But obviously they need to coach the bases how to be a good base and how to catch properly. And we still need spotters there. And we need spotters that are trained at monitoring these flyers so that, you know, if something were to happen, there's a spotter there to kind of catch them. So all of that is incorporated. We need to make these stunts safer.
We do need to make them safer. So what do you think that by putting out this policy statement, how does that exactly work when you do something like this with the American Academy of Pediatrics? How does it get turned into a sport or called a sport?
Well, hopefully the goal here is that, you know, when we wrote this, we have all the other physicians on the Council for Sports Medicine and Fitness look at this, and then it's basically approved through the entire academy. And so what we're saying here now is a uniform voice. Pediatricians are saying, listen, we need to do some things here to ensure that the number of cheerleading injuries can go down. And the best things that we can do are to make sure these cheerleaders are in good condition, they get a good physical beforehand, that cheerleading could be considered a sport in all states of the country. And we put in some guidelines that we think are pretty common sense guidelines that, you know, anybody who's doing cheerleading could follow. And so the point here is that now with all the pediatricians in the country are kind of speaking with this one voice through this policy statement, hopefully states will start to pay attention, and hopefully this will kind of carry over so that schools will start to pay attention, and these guidelines will kind of fall into place.
And including having their pre-participation physicals, which, I mean, I guess, Doctor, that it would seem that cheerleaders typically in the past were looked at as, you know, pom-pom girls that just jumped around and cheered for the team.
Right. Well, that's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, the problem is if it's not considered a sport, then it doesn't really fall under the rules where you say, well, an athlete has to get a pre-participation sports physical. If it's not considered a sport, sometimes they never even got a physical. And so here you have cheerleaders going in with maybe a prior injury that was never really rehabbed or never really addressed, and now they're again putting themselves at risk for another injury because of that. So if we consider it a sport, then they should have a sports physical beforehand, and hopefully we can pick up on conditions that need to be rehabbed or addressed before the season starts.
And also it would seem, and I saw in some of the recommendations, that coaches, parents, and athletes should have access to a written emergency plan. Has that typically not even been the case when they're doing these flips and jumps and pyramids and things like that, and they're doing them at basketball games on hard gym floors?
Well, you would hope that they would be in place, but as you know, a lot of times it takes a law or a rule or a regulation to put something in motion. So, unfortunately, I think there's been a lot of instances where, again, cheerleading hasn't been considered a sport, and if the state law says that for a sport they have to have an emergency action plan in, then there may not have been an action plan for a cheerleading. So, again, our goal is to try to push this forward as a sport, to try to get these players access to good medical facilities, good practice facilities, good coaches, and try to create some uniformity here so that we can have emergency plans in place and we can have all the things that we need to do to ensure safe participation.
And that's such a great message. But when I think of gymnastics and they're doing their jumps and their flips and their uneven parallel bars and things like that on that foam, so now, do you think that the schools will pick up on it and put these cheerleaders on some sort of flooring? I mean, this is a big undertaking.
Well, it is a big undertaking. I mean, but if they're going to have a gymnastics program, we want them to have it in as safe a manner as possible for the cheerleaders. I mean, if they don't do these things, my fear is that you're going to have one catastrophic injury, which is, of course, going to be horrible for that athlete, but it's also going to be horrible for the school. And so, I mean, the bottom line is it's not only protecting the athlete, it's really protecting the school's liability in the end. And so that's why we also want to, you know, that's why I do think schools should follow this for not only the safety of the athletes, but for their own protection. You know, they should really be following these guidelines.
Well, and in other sports, these guidelines have been set out and followed. And, you know, parents are always definitely involved, but this is kind of a new evolving, and there's movies about it now and, you know, television shows and all of these things. So in the last 30 seconds or so, give us your best advice about these recommendations by the American Academy of Pediatrics for cheerleading, the prevention of injuries.
Well, the bottom line, kind of to sum up the main points are, again, we'll try to get cheerleading considered as a sport in all the states of the union to make sure that cheerleaders get a good pre-participation sports physical before the start of their season. We want to ensure that coaches go through a uniform kind of training program, and so everybody has access to good qualified coaches, that spotters are trained in spotting so that you don't just have someone standing there but who actually knows what they should be doing. We put some guidelines in for stunts. You know, we don't want pyramids more than two people high. If you get higher than three or four people, the risk of injury increases. We also have to make sure that the surface is one that has a little give to it.
Well, thank you so much, Doctor. You're listening to Radio MD. We'll be back.